If you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die young. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. That's an act of faith. Sometimes it's a leap of faith depending what's going on in our life. A leap of faith that we're asked to make. If we're willing to take the leap, then God can do powerful things in and through us. You know, God didn't always promise an easy life, but He promised He'd be there for us. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God lets the storm rage, and He calms His child in the storm. In either case, we need to trust God that He's with us, good days and bad days, sickness and health, rich or poor, all the days of our life. Every Monday during this year, I want to spend time talking about how to handle worry. We have to know how to fight worry. Let's begin with a little litany. Come, Holy Spirit, replace the tension within us with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within us with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within us with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within us with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within us with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within us with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within us with a loving warmth. Replace the night within us with your day. Replace the winter within us with your spring. Come, Holy Spirit. It's by our prayer, that we're able to grow deeper every day in trust. Now, because I realize that people can quickly say, oh, Father Scott, it's easy for you to say, don't worry, you don't know what's going on in my life right now. I want to share each Monday a story with you of people who did have similar things going on in their life and how they dealt with the worry and they conquered it. Okay. So let's begin with today's story. By all means, we need to understand that taking one day at a time demands a lot of careful thought and planning and preparation. Example. During the Second World War, our military leaders planned for tomorrow, but they could not afford to have any anxiety. I have supplied the best men with the best equipment we have, said Admiral Ernest J. King, who directed the United States Navy. And I've given them what seems to be the wisest mission. That is all I can do. If a ship has been sunk, Admiral King went on to say, I can't bring it up. If it's going to be sunk, I can't stop it. I can use my time much better working on tomorrow's problem than by fretting about yesterday's. Besides, if I let those things get me, I wouldn't last long. So, dear listeners, whether in war or peace, the chief difference between good thinking and bad thinking is this. Good thinking deals with causes and effects and leads to logical, constructive planning. Bad thinking frequently leads to tension and nervous breakdowns. Arthur Hayes Sulzberger, who was a publisher from 1935 to 1961, at that time was one of the most famous newspaper publishers in the whole world. The newspaper was the New York Times. He said that during the Second World War, as it spread across Europe, he was so stunned, so worried about the future that he found it almost impossible to sleep. He would frankly get out of bed in the middle of the night, take some canvas and tubes of paint, look in the mirror and try to paint a portrait of himself. He didn't know anything about painting, but he painted anyway to get his mind off his worries. He said he was never able to banish his worries and find peace until he had adopted as his motto 5 words from a church hymn. Here's the 5 words. One step enough for me. Here's part of the hymn. lead, kindly light. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. Well, about the same time, a young man in uniform somewhere in Europe was learning the same lesson. His name was Ted Bergamino of Baltimore, Maryland. And he had worried himself into a first-class case of combat fatigue. He writes, "In April 1945, I had worried until I had developed what doctors called a spasmodic transverse colon, a condition that produces intense pain. If the war hadn't ended when it did, I am sure I would have had a complete physical breakdown. I was utterly exhausted. I was a Graves Registration non-commissioned officer for the 94th Infantry Division. My work was to help set up and maintain records of all men killed in action, missing in action, and hospitalized. I also had to help disinter the bodies of both Allied and enemy soldiers who had been killed and hastily buried in shallow graves during the pitch of battle. I had to gather up the personal effects of these men and see that they were sent back to parents or closest relatives who would prize these personal effects so much. I was constantly worried for fear we might be making embarrassing and serious mistakes. I was worried about whether or not I would come through all this. I was worried about whether I would live to hold my only child in my hands and arms, a son of 16 months, whom I had never seen. I was so worried and exhausted that I lost 34 pounds. I was so frantic that I was almost out of my mind. I looked at my hands. They were hardly more than skin and bones. I was terrified at the thought of going home a physical wreck. I broke down and sobbed like a child. I was so shaken that tears welled up every time I was alone. There was one period soon after the Battle of the Bulge started that I wept so often that I almost gave up hope of ever being a normal human being again. I ended up in the Army dispensary. An Army doctor gave me some advice which has completely changed my life. After giving me a thorough physical examination, he informed me that my troubles were mental. Ted, he said, I want you to think of your life as an hourglass. You know there are thousands of grains of sand in the top of the hourglass, and they all pass slowly and evenly through the narrow neck in the middle. Nothing you or I could do would make more than one grain of sand pass through this narrow neck without impairing the hourglass. You and I and everyone else are like this hourglass. When we start in the morning, there are hundreds of tasks which we feel that we must accomplish that day. If we do not take them one at a time and let them pass through the day slowly and evenly, as do the grains of sand passing through the narrow neck of the hourglass, then we are bound to break our own physical or mental structure. He continues, I have practiced that philosophy ever since that memorable day that an Army doctor gave it to me. One grain of sand at a time. One task at a time. That advice saved me physically and mentally during the war. And it has also helped me in my present position of public relations and advertising director for the Ad Crafters Printing and Office Company. I found the same problems arising in business that had arisen during the war. A score of things had to be done at once, and there was little time to do them. We were low in stocks. We had new forms to handle, new stock arrangements, changes of address, opening and closing of offices, and so on. Instead of getting taut and nervous, I remember what the doctor had told me, one grain of sand at a time, one task at a time. By repeating those words to myself over and over, I accomplished my task in a more efficient manner, and I did my work without the confused and jumbled feeling that had almost wrecked me on the battlefield. You and I are standing this very second at the meeting place of two eternities, the vast past that has endured forever and the future that is plunging on to the last syllable of recorded time. We can't possibly live in either of those eternities. No, not even for one split second. But by trying to do so, we can wreck both our bodies and our minds. So let's be content to live the only time we can possibly live, from now until bedtime. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote this, anyone can carry his burden, however hard, until nightfall. Anyone can do his work, however hard, for one day. Anyone can live sweetly, patiently, lovingly, purely, till the sun goes down. And this is all that life really means. And I would add, And this is all God requires of us. To take one day at a time, to trust God, to go about life peacefully. And if we do that, we will inspire many people, because there are many people in our world who are living quiet lives of desperation. Okay. So, you know what you and I have to do? We have to handle our worries. I don't know a person that doesn't have something serious that they could worry about. But the people that I find the healthiest, the people that I find most inspirational, are those people who, as a matter of fact, have learned to live one day at a time, one moment at a time, dealing with one task at a time, knowing that nothing can happen to them that they and God together cannot handle. Well, here's today's food for thought. The secret of contentment is a realization that life is a gift, not a right. Okay? Life is a gift from God. Don't take it for granted and don't abuse it, dear friends. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for pediatricians. These are the people we entrust our most precious natural resource, our children. Pray the pediatricians will be able to deal with our children and their problems in a loving, kind, compassionate way. Pray that they will be able to diagnose what the real problem is. Pray that they'll be able to help parents who suffer when their children suffer. All right, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. This guy walks into a bar and he's sitting there, and after he ordered his drink, he hears a voice say, "Hey, nice tie." Looks around, he can't see anybody. A couple minutes later, "Those glasses look good on you." Looks around, can't see anybody. A couple minutes later, he hears, "You really look good in that shirt." Finally, he calls a bartender over and he says to the bartender, "What's going on here? I keep on hearing voices. They say nice things about me." And the bartender says, "Oh, it's just the nuts there. They're complimentary." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know if you listen to the program. I love to hear from my listeners. If you have any prayer intentions, send them to me. I'll faithfully take them to prayer. I promise you. If you'd like to help me keep my hospital open for the poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico, you can send me a gift. I don't care how much you send me. Just please send me a gift. You make the check out to TASH, T-A-S-H, T as in Thomas, A-S-H, stands for the Anacetor Hospital, TASH, Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you'd like to visit my website that I think you'll find very interesting, my website address is Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.